Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
Good morning and welcome to Taste Matters with Mitchell Davis. I'm your host, Mitchell Davis, Vice President of the James Beard Foundation. And every week at 11 o'clock, we bring some interesting people out to Bushwick, Brooklyn, to sit in the converted storage container lined with wood, looking out on Roberta's dining room to talk about the most important subject in the world, at least for these 30 minutes, and that is taste. Actually, really food, but the aspect of food that I think is even more fascinating than just yummy deliciousness, but taste itself. And today, we're going to talk about taste from a totally different perspective than some of our previous conversations. We're going to be talking about the study of food and sort of the meta tastes, let's say, of this new and burgeoning area of scholarship called food studies, which is something very close to my heart, having helped create the program at NYU in the Department of Nutrition, Food Studies, and Public Health almost 15 years ago, and then signing up to do a PhD there and eventually graduating and seeing the whole evolution, both of the field of the study of food, but also of the students and the interest and the various places that have emerged because of a focus of academic scholarship on food and related things. So today I'm being joined by three students who are currently doing graduate work in the master's program at NYU at the Food Studies Department. And with me are Amy Rosenthal, who, when she isn't studying, is the research and operations manager at School Food Focus. We have Nathaniel Coburn, who is a chef, in addition to a food studies master's student, and Ashley Koziak, who works with me at the James Beard Foundation and who is the associate producer of this very show. So welcome, all of you, to the show.
Thank you.
Hi. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Let me remind, before we get into the conversation about why on earth anyone would go to an institute of higher learning to study food, and I ask that obviously because I did, so I'd like to know what you think. Let me remind people at home that they can call in and ask questions if you have any questions about NYU's program in particular, I guess, but also just about the idea of food scholarship and what food studies means. You can call us at 718-497-2128 or write us an email at info@heritageradionetwork.com. And I'd also want to point out that if you are listening to this show as a podcast or as the archive on heritageradionetwork.com, why don't you tweet us a question if you have one when one comes to you when you listen to the show. At Taste Matters HRN. Taste Matters HRN is our Twitter handle, and ask us questions that way, and we'll answer them, if not immediately on Twitter, maybe the next time on the show. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, let's start just by asking, telling me a little bit about your background and also why you signed up to do a master's in food. Amy, why don't we start with you since I'm looking at you?
Let's see. Why did I sign up for this? Well, I was a historian in college, studied Eastern European history, and then I took an environmental studies class to fulfill my last science requirement as a senior.
Careful about those electives, right? Yeah. It probably fit somewhere in your schedule, right?
Right, exactly. And then changed my life, I guess. I hate to put it so tritely, but, I kind of had the classic awakening to the horrors of the industrial food system. Mm-hmm. And then left college, went to work at an environmental nonprofit, the Environmental Working Group, and got really interested in farm subsidies, of all things. And so...
and here you are.
And yeah, now here I am. And so I saw the food studies program as a place to learn more about these things that I was newly interested in an academic way, and actually feel like I had a background and a real understanding in what I'm learning. Still is kind of a fuzzy world out there. So
a fuzzy world of food or food policy.
Right. And, there's not a whole lot of, academic scholarship around it. So Maybe I was even more of an expert than I realized without the food studies program, but
okay.
At least from the outset, it seemed like the place where you would get that real solid understanding.
Okay, we'll get back to that. Mm-hmm. How about you, Nathaniel? How did you get from the kitchen to the classroom?
Well, I was a general humanities major in college, mm-hmm. which
when I
so graduated. Working in a restaurant naturally.
Yes, of course. you guessed it. I moved out to San Francisco when I graduated and had no discernible job skills and started baking, and I liked that very much, and was happy. But then traveled overseas for a while and came back right as the economy tanked, and went back home to my hometown in South Carolina and began dabbling in community organizing work down there with some friends. And to supplement that income, I started cooking again and saw opportunities for and felt a desire to marry those two different fields. I didn't quite see how I fit into the organizing world of social justice movements. And I knew I didn't want to be a chef my entire life. Mm-hmm. And so when I started looking at next steps, the food studies program seemed like on paper, certainly, it seemed like a great place to combine those two efforts.
Great. So there's this question of on paper and reality I hear coming up, but we'll talk about that maybe.
It's not a bad reality.
Okay.
It's not a bad reality.
Both of you very politically motivated to sort of learn more and do more in that area. Ashley, what brought you to NYU?
I got my undergraduate in political studies at the University of Minnesota, so that's another degree that, God bless the liberal arts, is not that applicable. And I took some time off, and then I ended up at Mill City Museum in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So if you're ever in the area, people should go there. It's amazing.
Explain what it is.
It is Minneapolis was the flour milling capital of the world for 50 years.
In your best docent voice.
I know. It's a burnt out, there was a fire there in the 1990s. I've forgotten my dates already. They built this beautiful museum there, and it's on the river in Minneapolis, and you can tour it, and there's a baking lab. And anyway, it's about the flour milling industry and water power and how St. Anthony Falls built the city. And I decided that if I wanted to advance my prospects, I would need to get a master's degree, but I didn't know what to get it in. So I took food and history at the University of Minnesota. It was a graduate level course with Jeffrey Pilcher, mm-hmm. who had been a visiting professor, I think, at NYU. And I loved the class. I thought it was so interesting. And I just had never thought before that you could study food. Like, that had never even crossed my mind that was a career option until I took this class. And, I asked him his advice, and he said NYU Food Studies is the way to go. So I applied, and then I moved out to New York, and now I'm here.
Great. So did any of you have an idea obviously you had an idea of what the process would be like, and we'll get to that, but what you would do after, when you signed up, like what you thought you would end up doing? No. Blank looks across.
I had an idea. I really thought, I went into it with a background in museums, and I really thought, oh yeah, I'm going to make museum exhibits about food, and I'm going to know about history. And I don't know, and I feel like the food studies program has exposed me to a lot of different things, which is great, but it also is like, I don't know if I really want to do food exhibits anymore. I still know that I want to be a part of the food world in general, but I don't know. So I went in with one idea, and now
it's changing.
Searching for another.
Well, in my 12 years of graduate work there, you saw a lot of people come in with exactly the idea of what they were going to work on and focus on, and that slowly, or sometimes quickly, dissipated into some nether everything rewritten.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
How about you, Nathaniel? What did you see yourself doing upon graduation besides, before we get to the reality of what the course is like?
Well, I imagined, as so many of us have, I think, of buying a small plot of land in an urban area somewhere and having a cozy restaurant with like a community meeting space in the mm-hmm. back of it, sort of thing. And
I'm not sure everyone has that idea, but sure,
I heard about it a lot afterwards. And yes, and we're
it's
in
the
one,
crowd so, you hang out with. Yeah, no, we are in one of such space, but interesting. And you, Amy?
No, I had no idea. Right. Kind of, I mean, an idea of what I would like to end up achieving, but no sense of what the mechanism would be to get there or what I would actually do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so like normal grad school stuff. I mean, I think that certainly in a non-professional area, we're not talking about getting an engineering degree or an architecture degree or something and then going to have a profession. But I think that's one of the exciting and obviously one of the difficult things about the whole concept of a food studies program, because food for so many years was considered so pervasive and so banal, really, that it wasn't worthy of an education, a department devoted to it. But also, what did it mean? What then would you have, because it involves everything in some ways? So let's talk a little bit about the things that it involves. Like when you say food studies, what's the playing field? I mean, Nathaniel, I mean, what do you think of? The politics is one thing, but there's more, no?
There's absolutely more. I mean, there are, I guess, hundreds of different intersecting worlds that take place just in the context of your food getting from one place to the other, from production to consumption, you know, and understanding, like, how those different systems work, how those different networks work, what the power structures are of those. Delving into that can take a long time, and it takes a lot of there's nuance, and there's just tons of things that I don't even know about yet. And
how long have you been in the program?
This is my fourth semester now
of a 2 year. All
it'll
of you
3 years
are about the same.
It'll be 3 years yeah. part time.
Okay.
Like right now, I'm taking a class on food markets right now, and we're doing a commodity chain study. Uh-huh. We get to pick a particular one. I'm sort of excited about looking at coconut water right now. Like the process from which coconut water gets from that thing, you know, in the tree to the carton,
right.
and where it goes through. Because I'll bet it's kind of weird looking, you know.
Right. Well, just the fact that there wasn't a thing minutes ago. Yeah, yeah. In fact, when I started at NYU, there was no such thing as coconut water.
Right. Right.
I
mean, yeah.
Coconuts obviously had a liquid involved with them, but the concept of coconut yeah. water had
and
not
it being
yet been invented.
Very appealing to right. You know, to joggers and things.
Right. How about you, Amy? Some surprises about, you know, what food studies involves, the areas that it could take you to?
Yeah, I mean, I think the coconut water and just the way you guys both approach that topic is really interesting. So Nathaniel's talking about, you know, the supply chains, how does this actual product get from, you know, wherever the coconuts are grown to the consumer, and then you took it from an angle of, well, what does it mean that there is coconut water when there once was no coconut water? So I think I've been surprised about the extent to which food, the program is about food ostensibly, but really everybody is doing something so different with it that, mm-hmm. you know, Nathaniel's interested in community organizing and that relates to food. And I'm really interested in, you know, environmental and political systems and how that relates to food. Or there are plenty of people who are interested in, you know, art and design and how those are related to food. So mm-hmm. When you get into class, it can be really interesting because people have such different experiences and are really interested in different aspects of whatever we're talking about. And it also can make it difficult at times because...
Right, you don't speak a common language right. or share a common passion.
Right.
Certainly, I've taught some adjunct courses. I've been an adjunct professor in some courses, and it's a challenge because there are such different backgrounds and different passions and different interests, and so you have to be sensitive to that, but also communicate at a very high level. I mean, we're talking about big ideas. Ashley, tell me, surprises of the intersections of food to you, besides that maybe you don't want to be a curator of the first food museum.
Well, I guess it was kind of that change. I don't want to call it a change of heart, but just that I went in wanting to study food and culture, and then taking these food systems classes, and of course I knew that a food system existed. I was very aware of it, but just how you changed your interest. And I feel like going back to what Amy said, a lot of people go in and change their interest. There are a lot of people who are trying to get their head around all these different perspectives, and it can be difficult because there's a lot of really interesting stuff out there, and it's hard to figure out exactly what you want to do.
You just said something I think is very interesting, because you said, well, of course you knew that there was a food system, and I don't know that that's a given. In fact, the more you get out there, we're in a moment mm-hmm. right now where questions about the food system, ideas of the farm bill, at least in certain circles, are prime, really, and more than ever before, I think, perhaps post-industrialization of the food system. But not everyone knows there's a food system. People think that food just appears in on the shelves. And the other day I was at a Duane Reade, a local drugstore, and the people in front of us were clearly buying a week's worth of food. And I turned to my partner and I was like, if I ever buy all of my food at a drugstore, please kill me. Because I don't think that's right. But talk about this new moment of food, and if that had any, I mean, it's probably hard for you to say if it had any play into your decisions, but it's got, you have to recognize it's not always been this way.
It's sometimes hard to remember that when you're in the food studies program right. and that's all you're doing and those are the people you talk to, or and that's your job to remember that there are people who are quite comfortable buying all their food at a convenience store, right, or that's their only option.
but you're shuddering. Folks at home can see the shudder. Yeah,
but they're out there, and yeah, and it's just hard to keep that in mind sometimes.
I mean, sure, it's hot right now and everything, but I think slowly, perhaps in the mind of the general population, that it's less of a given now than it used to be. You know, like I grew up assuming a lot of things about my food, that it would always be there, that there, when Katrina hit, I was in South Carolina. Nothing happened to me. I was fine, but I was terrified about what it meant, that like a whole city of people weren't getting what, you know, these basic mm-hmm. needs that we consider to be human rights, right? You know, and so it doesn't seem like as much of a given anymore. And so, like, I think part of this for me is that it's a field that I find fun, but it's also a field that I think is going to be increasingly necessary as we go into, you know, the warmest February I've ever felt. And like, mm-hmm. you know, it's a terrifying time in a lot of ways. And we need to understand how these things are going to work if we want to continue to be okay.
Right. To sustain ourselves. To eat. Yeah. On that happy note, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back in a minute with Taste Matters.
This program was sponsored by White Oak Pastures. The Harris family has lived and farmed White Oak Pastures for 145 years. They are committed to sustainable land stewardship and humane animal stockmanship. Their mission? We take care of the land and the herd, and they take care of us. For more information about their cattle and their farm, visit whiteoakpastures.com.
Little headbanging music to wake you up in the morning if the coffee didn't do it. We're back with Taste Matters. I'm your host, Mitchell Davis. You can call us at 718-497-2128 with any questions about school food, a different type of school food than you hear a lot about in the news these days, or write us at info@heritageradionetwork.com. Nathaniel, I want to talk about cooking and studying food at the same time, because they're, you know, two very different pursuits. They use different parts of your brain, I think. And I just would like to hear your thoughts about thoughts while you're cooking, and sort of the intersection of the intellectual, political pursuit of food, and also the making of food, the menial part of making a lot of food as a chef. And we should talk about where you're working now.
Yes, I am. I currently work for the Red Hook Lobster Pound. I run their events at the Brooklyn Flea for the most part, and I'll be on their food truck starting tomorrow, actually.
Oh.
I find that it's grounding for me, that physical labor reminds me of my body in a way that school certainly doesn't. I feel better when I'm doing physical work than when I'm sitting in a library all day. And honestly, I don't think about much. And I like that. It provides a really nice like counterweight to stressing out a lot. Like, I find it a much less stressful mm-hmm. environment mm-hmm. To be cooking on a line than trying to
right,
come up with papers.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Amy, do you cook?
I do. I cook a lot. And I rarely think about the connection of that to school, except in the case where the more that I am reading about particularly the industrial meat system, the less I find myself cooking meat, you know, and kind of every so often I feel like my schoolwork leads me to declare or redeclare that I am going to be a vegan, or I'm
really?
Only going to, you know, buy from the farmer's market. So that that's really, for me, the connection between the intellectual and what I'm putting in my body.
Ashley, do you cook?
I do. I try to. I'm not very good at it, but I make the best attempt of my tiny itty bitty kitchen. That's a former closet, I think. Mm-hmm. I think it was a closet. So.
And when you go to have lunch, or when you decide what to make dinner, does anything that happens in your school moments?
Yes.
Come to your mind?
Well, I think it has more to do with the shopping moments. Because I live with my boyfriend, and I'm a bad person because he'll reach for something on the shelf, and I don't say anything, but I make a face. I can't control my facial tics, and he knows. He's like, okay, we're not going to get that this week. Maybe by next week she'll forgotten about it and it'll be okay to buy it. So
great. So I guess a question that comes to mind is why not study something to do with food in a political science department or even in a, an environmental program somewhere? Like, what is the unique thing that bringing the different aspects together through food gives? And who wants to take a stab at that?
I'll field that one. Depending on what you want to come out with, this program made a lot more sense to me personally because I wanted to have a somewhat holistic understanding of food in a way that combined different kinds of disciplines. Like, I wanted courses that dealt with economics, and I wanted courses that dealt with social anthropology, and I wanted courses that dealt with a technical understanding of the innovations that have allowed our food system to exist how it does, the birth of refrigeration and good canning methods and that kind of thing.
We sometimes forget those are the product of some form of industrialization also.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
there's
yeah.
been some good in before the bad.
A lot had to happen.
Yeah, right.
And so understanding all of those things together, for me, I think is allowing me to feel more equipped to do my work coming from a lot of different angles.
Amy?
Yeah, I think that was a really good answer. I definitely agree with that. And it just seemed more fun. I love food, and I thought it would be the chance to be around a lot of other people who love food. And I look at every course syllabus, and all of the readings are about food. And, I wouldn't get that otherwise.
Right.
It's great.
That's actually why I signed up myself after we helped create the program. I thought, I need a paper. I need to have to write a paper to read everything I'd like to have read.
Right.
And it's very good for that reason. And now there's so much. I mean, there's so much to read. The number of books about food that come out, some good, some bad, all interesting in some way, is just remarkable, which I think also speaks to this moment we're in where people are not just concerned about, sort of the living the good life of food, but also realizing that food is an integral part of all aspects of life. Let's talk for a little bit about the fact that this program is in New York City. And I know, at the same time that we in New York like to think that New York is the center of everything and is certainly an important food center, there are other pockets around the country, certainly around the world, that have really strong food cultures. But I've always thought that something unique about the program being in New York and the access you have to some of the food things that happen here was good, or maybe not. Any thoughts? Ashley, you moved from the Midwest to New York. What's your experience been?
I did. I moved from the Midwest to here. And I love the Midwest. Don't get me wrong. I love Minneapolis.
We all do, I think.
It's
yes.
wonderful. There's a lot of really great food options, but there's just such an enormous diversity here. I mean, that's the biggest and most obvious one is that, even in my little neighborhood, I have such access to such a wide variety of really excellent food. And it's, I feel like there's a lot of really good cheap food here too, which I find amazing. It's not bad for you necessarily, but there's really great food here everywhere.
And people don't always realize that, right?
Exactly. Yeah. People think of really, high-end restaurants like Le Bernardin and Per Se, and which are
you're
wonderful.
Not eating there every day?
No, I can't afford to eat there. I'm
a student.
We're
not paying you enough, right?
but there's a lot of really wonderful cheap food as well, which I love.
Nathaniel?
Since I've moved here, I mean, I really loved being in New York. I think that, the scene, like the food scene, what's popular right now, what's good, what where the best oysters are and all that kind of thing is it lends an air of excitement that's wonderful to be around. It's also really distracting and figuring out how to prioritize where I choose to spend my intellectual energy like on dining or on actually like studying real problems within the system. And all right. It's like hard to balance the two because they don't always blend very well.
You know? I've always thought it'd be very difficult to be an undergraduate student in New York at NYU or something, just because there's a lot of distraction, not just food. Amy, the experience of New York on this process, this journey?
Yeah, I mean, New York, it just is a great place to study the food systems issues because it's so unique that there's so many people together living on this island who manage to eat every day. If you're interested in trying to solve the problems that, you know, we see in that system, it's a great laboratory to do so, definitely. And then I guess at some point we'll all have to, you know, move to Omaha and solve their problems, but that can be like the next generation.
Well,
right.
Well, actually people are already. I mean, one of the neat things at the Beard Foundation, actually Ashley's been working with us on this. We've been, we're doing an annual food conference, and in preparation each year, we travel around and conduct meetings in various cities about exactly people working on very different issues. And everywhere, to me, the biggest surprise since even the early 90s when this program started was that everywhere you go, people are wrestling with the issues. Oftentimes because of the scale and because of the newness, being able to be really innovative and thinking of different solutions for local problems or even regional problems and bigger problems because there's such interest. And because, as Nathaniel said, it's dire out there in some ways. I guess, you know, so let's talk about what's next for you. I mean, a little bit about what you're doing right now and what you want to each do. Like, I know I've asked what you thought you would be doing, and you don't necessarily know. You all have a little bit more time left, but like your fantasy in 5 years, if you would be perhaps drawing on this experience, but also doing something in the food world, what would that be? Let's start with you, Ashley.
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
This is like an interview. Yeah.
I know. I'm still trying to figure that out because I still feel like there are a lot of possibilities, but... I think there's a lot of connections that can be made between, and this is one of the interesting things about NYU, is there's a food studies track and there's a food and culture track. But I feel like there's so many places where those two unite. And I feel like if we can figure out how to get those two together, because there's a lot of places where they do and really emphasize that, like culture and sustainability, I think we could go really far, and I think sustainability would really grow. I don't know if I'm making any sense, but so that would be my goal, uniting culture and sustainability.
Excellent. Nathaniel?
Lately, I've thought a lot about doing some kind of like coalition building work. Like I got really excited about the idea of food policy councils, which are kind of a consortium of different stakeholders, like farmers and chefs and neighborhood associations, that kind of thing, who try to come together and direct food policy initiatives that make sense. And I like the idea of some kind of consulting group that would help build bridges between these different stakeholders and create a coherent vision for a city or a neighborhood or a community or a region even for like the direction they could go in if they want to achieve a sustainable food system within their locale. So, something along those lines is
like creating a model,
community food assessments, right. Power mapping, those types of services, and tailoring it to the needs of a specific area.
Cool, Amy.
Nathaniel got to go first. Totally stole my idea.
Oh, come on!
We were talking about it before.
Yeah, we were talking about that as we were waiting to come on the air. I'm particularly interested in the business aspect of this whole new brave new food system world and how you really create economically sustainable businesses that are going to be a sizable or at the scale where they can really provide an alternative to the industrial food system. Because right now you hear a lot about how terrible it is and, you know, buy local, but that's not really a real feasible option in the long term. So trying to figure out what are like the new economic models that we're going to need to pursue to actually, you know, achieve some of these good food goals.
Well, you all get A's as far as I'm concerned. And in 5 years, we'll have you all back and you will have changed the world. And that's very exciting because it will be a more sustainable, more delicious place. And we look forward to that. Thank you for joining us today on Taste Matters. Next week, we will be listening, we'll be chatting with Melissa Clark, who is a great cookbook and recipe writer. She's co-authored many books with great chefs, and you'll read her in the New York Times and on Guilt Taste and in all kinds of places. You can't avoid her, and we're going to talk about cookbooks and recipes and home cooking and sort of the future of food in a very tangible, what's for dinner kind of way. join us on Taste Matters. Listen on download. You can download us on iTunes as a podcast or listen on heritageradionetwork.com. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network.
Is a public service
you can find all of our archives.